Let's talk a little bit about this topic, redeeming the time. Our text this morning is going to be from Ephesians chapter 5. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we're going to be. And walking wisely is also sort of a sub-theme here, Ephesians 5, and in our passage, verses 15 and 16 in particular. Now, before we get started, as I was thinking about what to speak on this morning, I was struck by something I've been noticing a lot as a parent, teacher, grandparent, member of our culture, is that the enormous amount of time we all waste, okay? Especially when it comes to media and so forth. So I want to run just a little clip here, if this gets going here. Are we ready for the clip, Karen? Okay, I think that's it. Hit it. Go ahead and start it.
I shouldn't even be here. I have a wife and a family, but I can't help myself. How can something that feels so good be wrong? My wife is starting to get suspicious. All the time we've been spending together. All those late nights. Just you and me. When it feels like you're the only one in the world who understands me. You're beautiful. I can't take my eyes off you. You're wonderful.
All right, did you get sucked in by that? Okay. You know, perhaps it would have been better reflection of modern culture instead of a little old TV like that. Today, you know, they're huge. This is an old video. But maybe it should be a cell phone that you're preoccupied with looking at. You know, everybody seems to be walking around like this everywhere you go, you know. Or maybe a video game system or a computer or a tablet or something along that line. Sometimes it seems like our whole lives are wrapped up in these things. And, you know, a lot of people have commented about social media. And, you know, Facebook and, Instagram and all those other things that I don't know how to use. I do use Facebook a lot. And it's a way to keep in touch with family and stuff that I like. But also you can get, I've gotten sucked into watching these little reels on Facebook. You know, and then it tracks what you like to watch and shows you more of what you want to watch. And so the next thing you know, you've been sitting there for 2 hours looking at that stuff, and you haven't done what you're supposed to do. So I fall subject to this stuff as well. And I've been thinking a lot about life and the time that God gives to each of us. Back in 2013, and I was only 57 years old, some of you are like, oh yeah, what's wrong? You had to figure out how old that guy really is. And my left leg started to swell. I was functioning as a part-time interim pastor at a church. And I went to a staff meeting and had to put my leg up because it was getting all swollen. And I went to the emergency room, and I thought, well, I'll go visit one of our parishioners that's there in the emergency room. And then I said, well, I better go have my leg looked at. And the next thing you know, they gave me a sonogram, and the next thing you know, I'm in intensive care for 3 days. I had massive blood clots in my leg and in my lungs. And I was in intensive care for 3 days. And the doctor said, you're lucky to be alive, because if one of those blood clots had broken in and gone into your head, you'd had an aneurysm and you'd have died. And so there I was, and I realized I could have died. Right then and there. And it's really given me a sense of, as I get older now, I realize my time could be up at any moment. You know, but you don't have to be old, right? You know, when you're at 57, you think, well, I got another, 15 or 20 years for sure. Well, maybe I didn't, right? So turn with me in your Bibles, as we said, to Ephesians 5, and our text for this morning message is verse 15 and 16. Okay? Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men or people, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to exegete this verse. We're going to look at it bit by bit. But before we do that, I want us to get a little bit of background here. See it within the context of the whole book of Ephesians. Now, I'm a big advocate of going through the Bible. That's what we do in our education. We teach Bible classes. We go through verse by verse through the scriptures. I think that's a great thing to do. I'm not against topical studies as well, but I think there's something to seeing the context of what the Bible's saying. So here, what's the context? Well, the epistle of Ephesians is very classically Pauline. In other words, there's a doctrinal portion and there's a practical portion, or the indicative and the imperative. You know, what is true, what is the theology, and then what are you supposed to do with that? How do you live that out? And so chapter 1 through 3 is who we are in Christ, what Christ has done for us. You know, that we're sinners and we're saved by grace. Chapter 2, right? You know, for we are saved by grace and not as well works as any man boast, right? You know, and so the great doctrines are given to us, how we know Jesus. And then chapter 4 begins in verse 1, says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Okay? So this is who you are in Jesus. This is the blessings of your salvation. Now, what do you do with it? Now, walk worthy. Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk. Live it out in a way that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. And then in chapter 5, at the beginning in verse 2, he says, and walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. I think I should be moving ahead here. Yeah, I get a little carried away here sometimes, but be patient with me. Walking in love as a fragrant aroma. Now, This is an exam for you all, okay, because I teach classes, okay. Now, what is this? That's a step, okay. What's this? Walking. There, when the Bible talks about a pattern of our lifestyle, it talks about walking. It's one of Paul's favorite metaphors, okay. Walk in a manner worthy. In other words, your lifestyle should reflect worthy walking. Your lifestyle should reflect love. So this is, you know, so we're not talking about a moment of love. We're talking about a life that reflects love, a life that reflects worthy behavior and so forth. And then when we come to our verse for today, it's walk wisely is what we're going to next. When we get into chapter 5, walk wisely. So, you know, you see the structure in the last few chapters of Ephesians of walk worthy, walk in love, walk wisely. See? Walk wisely. So the third thing Paul tells us we characterize our lifestyle is walking in a careful and wise manner. So let's tear this apart, okay? So again, here's the verse. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Are we okay? Is she okay? Okay. Okay. Please don't all get up and it'll hurt my feelings. Okay. As long as she's okay. Okay, so the first thing he says, walk carefully. Okay, now with care. What does Paul mean here when he says we should be careful? The word that's used here in the original language is akrobos, okay, which I know that blesses you. Just say it together, akrobos. Okay. Akrobos. But it's an interesting word because it's used only a few times in the New Testament. Let me give you a couple of examples. It's used in Matthew 2:8, where evil King Herod tells the Magi to make careful search for the child. Okay? So that's how it's used there. It's used by Luke at the beginning of his gospel, where he says that I've investigated everything carefully. Okay? Concerning Jesus. And it's also used to describe Apollos in Acts 18, where it said he's speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. So carefully. In other words, accurate. So the word seems to carry the idea of doing something carefully and accurately with intention and care. Okay. So when I think, okay, that's kind of the thrust of this word here. What comes to my mind is, anybody ever do any hiking? I used to like to hike. My favorite place to hike was Yosemite in California. Anybody ever been to Yosemite? If you haven't been, you got to go sometime. It's fabulous. But there's some really steep trails there. And imagine coming down a steep trail and not watching what you're doing. Rocks, tree limbs, right? Uneven places to step and so forth. You have to walk very carefully. Because if you don't pay careful attention to what you're doing, you could break your ankle, take a fall, or even worse, right? Fall over a cliff or something like that if you're on a dangerous trail. So that's kind of what I think of. So when we take care in something, it means to give it attention and do it carefully. So again, that's what Paul is meaning here. And then he says, walk with wisdom. So walk with care, walk with wisdom. The other side of intentionality and purposefulness is how it's directed. Okay. This concerns wisdom. And I think when I think about this, you say, okay, be careful, but also be wise. Make sure that you're walking in a way that is maximizing your effectiveness. It's a wise way to do it. It's about priorities. To what end or purpose is my life focused? Is the goal of my life to have fun? Right? That seems to be, or, you know, to have pleasure or to, I don't know. Some people just go through life, they don't have a goal. They're just, I'm just here. Or I'm just here to have fun, or I'm just here to have pleasure, and so forth. So if so, then that's going to order your whole life's priorities. So you want to be careful that you're using God's wisdom to choose the path of life, that, you know, to use your time wisely. Remember, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, you know, where no one's going to steal it. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. That's wise living. Saying, I'm ordering the priorities of my life for an eternal perspective, to lay up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. Because a lot of people, you know, their goal is to get a big pile of money so they can retire and go play golf. Or, you know, do whatever they want to do. And they get there and then they die. Right? Then you're dead. And what is your life accomplished? You created a big pile of money that your kids get. Right? That's what Solomon says. Solomon says, that's the irony of it, is that you strive your whole life to get all this stuff, and then somebody else gets it. So the next theme we have here is time. And this is, hopefully you'll find this interesting, but time is a gift. Oh, did that just come up? I think that's pretty appropriate for a lot of people. And, you know, are we wasting our lives? Time is a gift. There's a great quote from attributed to Eleanor Roosevelt, said, and I think it goes back further than her, yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery, today's a gift. That's why it's called the present. Okay, all right, it's a little hokey. But, you know, we need to look at time as a gift. Every day we're given to live is a gift. We're not promised tomorrow. Right? I mean, Jesus said, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because today's got enough trouble. Right? And you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, for sure. Now, it doesn't mean you don't make plans. You don't plan on going to school or getting training or moving. You know, I mean, it's okay. But you got to realize that every day is a gift from God. And ultimately, our days are numbered by God. And another thing here is also that time is fleeting. Now, the word that Paul uses here for time in verse 16 is not the normal word for time. And this is where Greek helps you out. The normal word for time in Greek is chronos, okay, from which we get chronometer, something that measures time, or a chronology, a timeline of things that happen and so forth. That's a measurement of time. The word used here is kairos. It's a different word for time. And I want to show you a little bit about, there was actually a Greek god by the name of Kairos. Okay? And here's a artist rendering. Now, hopefully you can see this. I wish I had a little laser pointer. But if you can see here, this is a famous Renaissance era art rendering here. But you'll notice here that the front of this god has all this hair coming out this way. But the back of his head is bald. And the reason is that this is the god of opportunity. Okay? So when opportunity comes, you got to grab it as it comes to you. Once it's passed, there's nothing to grab. You see that? Isn't that interesting? This is the word that Paul uses here when he's talking about making the most of your opportunity, or, as we're going to talk about here, redeeming the time. Now, just want to mention something here, is that if you're using a New King James Bible, and I have a copy of that right here, and let me read how it's translated here. It says, see to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So the King James and the New King James and uses the word redeeming the time. Most of the modern translations use making the most of your opportunity or something along that line. So I want to explore that for a moment here and see what makes the best sense here. The word that's used here is ek agorazo, which in a literal sense, agorazo is from the word we get agora, from a marketplace. You know, we use that word sometimes, you know, especially in Southern California where I grew up with Spanish language, and agora is a market area. And so this comes from the Greek term ex agorazo, mean ex is where we get exit from. So it means out of. So, you know, the root idea of ex agorazo is to buy out, And sometimes it is translated to redeem someone, to buy them out of slavery or something along that line. But it also has a sense of an intense buying, a buying which exhausts the possibilities available and so forth. So a lot of the translations say, translate this expression here, make the most of your opportunity. You know, but the question is here, should we go with the idea of buying time? You can't really buy time. So, I kind of go with both ideas here. In intensively buying time or redeeming it, are we not then making the most of every opportunity we have? See, I think that's what Paul's saying here. Or as one lexicon puts it, we're saving time from being lost. Because, you know, if you go back to that Chronos thing, once time has gone by, you can't get it back. Right? You can change your future, you can change your priorities for the present and the future, but you can't go back and change the past. That's a common theme in science fiction movies, right? You know, if I could just go back and change that decision I made, or those words I said, or that event that took place, and so forth. So here I think the sense is kind of a little bit of both. We're saving the time, or redeeming it, in the sense of making the most of what God's given to us, the time that God's given to you. Okay. And the final expression here, and I've got 5 minutes left, and I'm on the final expression, that's good. Time is short because the days are evil. Okay, keeping with the theme of time being fleeting and short, Paul may be infusing something eschatological here. You know, the end days are coming, things are going to get worse and so forth. But probably what he has in mind here is that the enemy is working. Okay. That this realm that we're in is the realm of the prince of the power of the air. You know, if God's working, and the things I'm hearing I think are true, that there's great revival going on amongst many people in Iran right now, the enemy is there, and he's killing people. And he's using that evil regime to suppress and persecute these people that just want their freedom. And many of them want to be able to be Christians and are done with the hypocrisy and the lies of Islam. So the enemy is working. The days are evil. And if you say, I'm going to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have an enemy who's going to do everything he can to try to stop you from heading in that direction. So what I think Paul is saying here is that to make the most or seize every opportunity to do good, to preach the gospel, to minister to the hurting, to pray, to love, for there's someone who would work against you and those opportunities from coming your way again. So, conclusion. What are some, my old pastor at our church used to call them takeaways. What do you take away from this? Well, let's talk about, it's pretty simple. How are we using the most precious gift that God's given to us? Are we being careful and making decisions on how we use our time? And one reason I decided to preach on this morning is because I was convicted. I've been getting hooked on this dumb little game on my tablet, you know. And I like, I wasted a couple of hours yesterday. Just, you know, and I understand, you know, everybody needs some mental downtime, okay. But there's a difference between mental downtime to kind of rest your brain and wasting a whole day, right? Or not doing your responsibilities because you were goofing off and not doing what you should be doing and that sort of thing. And that's not living wisely. So we want to take some time for self evaluation. Oops, we missed it. Okay, that was supposed to come up one at a time. But, you know, how many hours a week do I spend watching TV, chatting online, surfing the net, playing games? Those are things that are time wasters, time thieves. And then, you know, how much time do I spend studying God's Word? Fellowshipping with other believers, reading my Bible, witnessing to non-believers, praying, right? And so if we want to remember, I think we have this verse up here. Paul tells us, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So, I mean, we could talk about extreme examples, but if you're looking at 10 hours of porn on the internet every week, what's going to flow out of your life? Corruption. If you're doing intensive study and prayer and spending time in God's Word, what's going to flow out of that is spiritual fruit in your life. So the old computer principle of garbage in, garbage out is, so what are you doing? What are you, you know, how are we using our time? And that's something I think we all need in this world of mega distractions everywhere you look, right? I remember, I'm old enough, some of you are with me on this, I'm old enough to remember when there was like 3 TV channels, ABC, NBC, and maybe, that was even, I can remember the days before PBS, right? Maybe there's one other channel in a big city, you know? And that was it. And if you didn't like the stuff, there was nothing on TV. How many channels are there now? Hundreds. You know, you can spend your whole day just trying to find something to watch. And you know, the internet and all, you know, the social media and all this stuff. And a lot of it is big time waste. Well, not all of it's bad, you know. I love seeing pictures of my grandkids posted up, you know, stuff like that. Those are great. It's a great way to keep in touch. We keep in touch with our ministry people through some of the different social media things. So it can be used for good, but you know, we have to use it wisely. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Help us to make wise use and careful use of the days you've given to us. We don't know how long they are. I pray particularly for the young folks here who have so much of their lives ahead of them, that they would walk wisely and make choices that will maximize their worthy walk for you and bring honor and glory to you in their lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.